The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, October 29th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We are 4 days away from Election Day, the most transformative election in marijuana law reform in my lifetime. I hope you're all registered, and I hope you're all ready to vote to change the world coming up this next Tuesday. Speaking of next Tuesday and Election Day, we will be broadcasting live from inside Oaksterdam University, the Prop 19 campaign headquarters. We will be the only media allowed inside of Prop 19 headquarters. You can get all your live election results, not just on Prop 19, but Oregon's Measure 74, South Dakota's initiated Measure 13, and Arizona's Proposition 203, as well as municipal ballot measures in Massachusetts, Wisconsin, Colorado, all over this great country of ours. Everyone's talking about marijuana legalization. Joining me here for the fun from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, Russ. I feel like this is such a momentous weekend. I feel like the whole world will be different by this time next week.
Oh, yeah, I know. This is an amazing time to be alive. And if you're new to the marijuana law reform bandwagon, welcome.
Nice. We're glad. Timing, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice timing.
Yeah, good timing.
Nice timing, noobs.
Yeah, good time to get here. And we are covering all of the election, like I mentioned. But before we get to that, I want to give a hearty thank you to all of our listeners here at Normal Show Live and all of our readers at our blog, the Stash blog, stash.normal.org. Last night, we set a record for the most daily hits that we get at stash.normal.org at 12,200. It's just amazing. I can't believe how many people visited the site yesterday. We usually get around 3,000 to 4,000 hits a day. We got 12,000 yesterday, 30,000 for the week, and over 113,000 for the month, making it the most successful month in our history, and we got nowhere to go but up from here. Now, on today's show, we've got all sorts of great stuff coming up for you. We've got our Rockin' Friday Daily Toker tune. We've also got at half past the hour a special edition of the California Marijuana Report where Bill Kreutzmann from the Grateful Dead offers his thoughts on Prop 19. I bet you can guess what he thinks about it. And we've also got some discussion at the end of the show about California's Prop 19 in my radical rant. But first, we do our news right after the first break with Cannabis Carrie. What's in our news for today?
Well, since this is the last show before Election Day when we will be broadcasting from California, we're going to go over the big three, and we're going to put in a little bit of extra news about Vermont and maybe a tiny bit of news about Massachusetts as well. So stay tuned.
All right. Thank you so much, Carrie. All of that coming up here on Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Stick around and remember Election Day. You want to tune in all day. We will be there all day long covering the election returns as they come in from Prop 19 headquarters in Oaksterdam. If you want to send me an email, the address is stash@normal.org and follow my Prop 19 and other updates on Twitter at Radical Russ. We'll be right back after these messages. Stick around.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
We are urging you to vote yes on the Arizona medical marijuana question, Proposition 203, which will regulate the use, cultivation, and distribution of medical marijuana. Arizona has already passed medical marijuana twice before in the 1990s, only to have the legislature dismiss it through technicalities. This third time, however, will be the charm, as Prop 203 is carefully written to ensure that severely sick and disabled patients will have access to this medicine. Recently, opponents have tried to scare Arizonans with videos of the open-air, anything-goes medical marijuana market in Venice Beach, California. It's a sign of desperation for the opponents, as Prop 203 will never allow for the lax standards for medical marijuana as found in California. But it is telling that opponents never point to the medical marijuana programs in the other 13 medical marijuana states, which are working successfully, and from which the authors of this Arizona question have learned to have learned valuable lessons. Patients in the Arizona medical marijuana program will be strictly scrutinized for their qualifying medical conditions. A doctor must verify a diagnosis of cancer, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, hepatitis C, Lou Gehrig's disease, Crohn's disease, Alzheimer's disease, wasting syndrome, severe nausea, epilepsy, and other seizure disorders, or multiple sclerosis or other spastic disorders. Even pain, which critics deride as an easy way for some to abuse the system, must be diagnosed as both severe and chronic. These qualifying patients will be limited to just 2.5 ounces of marijuana in their possession. The issue of dispensaries, so contentious in the states of California and Colorado, is also controlled by Prop 203. These facilities will have strict security measures, tough zoning restrictions, electronic tracking of inventory, and must be operated on a nonprofit basis. The dispensaries will be limited to selling only 2.5 ounces of a patient every 2 weeks so as to curtail diversion for illegal purposes. Patients who live within 25 miles of a dispensary will not be allowed to cultivate marijuana at home, but those patients living in rural areas too far from a dispensary may cultivate up to 12 plants, which must be kept in an enclosed, locked facility. Arizona patients will also benefit from lessons learned in other medical marijuana states. Medical use of marijuana won't be cause to deny someone an organ transplant, deny them as a good parent, or lose their custody rights. To evict a patient from housing or education, or to fire or deny an employment to a patient will also be denied. Employers would still be able to maintain drug-free workplaces and prohibited use of marijuana or impairment from marijuana on the job. Results of a positive urine screen for marijuana alone will be the cause for disciplining a patient in the workplace, not all those other things. Please vote yes on Prop 203. It provides the compassion for the sick and disabled while applying the lessons learned from 14 years of medical marijuana in 14 other states.
Yeah, it's time to pass medical marijuana in the state of Arizona. I mean, they've got medical marijuana in New Mexico right next door, in California right next door, Nevada all around them. And folks in Arizona, don't be fooled by these scare tactics where they point to Venice Beach and they say it's going to be like that, because your program will be nothing like that. It'll be one of the strictest programs in the nation. The patients of Arizona deserve your compassion.
We're also urging you to vote yes in South Dakota for the South Dakota Safe Access Act, also known as a Measure 13, which will regulate the medical use of marijuana as well. In 2006, South Dakota became the only state to fail to pass a medical marijuana initiative. The vote was close, but the fear tactics used by opponents led many of you to doubt the compassionate nature of the bill, thus cruelly depriving fellow South Dakotans the relief from illness and disability that medical marijuana is proven to provide. Now, this is not a bill to turn South Dakota into Venice Beach, California either. Opponents often use scaremongering about California's medical marijuana laws, which are famously lax, to convince the casual voter that support for medical marijuana will lead to some sort of stoner paradise. That just simply isn't true about the South Dakota Safe Access Act. South Dakotans who wish to use medical marijuana will face strict scrutiny of their medical records for qualification under a limited set of conditions, including cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, Lou Gehrig's disease, Alzheimer's disease, wasting syndrome, severe nausea, epilepsy, and seizure disorders, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, and other spastic disorders. Severe pain, which critics often deride as the easy way to get a card, is even more scrutinized than it is in other medical marijuana states. Only those whose pain is intractable and unresponsive to conventional treatments will be allowed to use medical marijuana. The initiative is also written to curtail the explosive growth of medical marijuana found in a few of the existing medical marijuana states. It only allows residents to be caregivers for medical marijuana patients, and they may not have crimes of crimes of violence or felony drugs dealing within their background check. A caregiver can tend up to 5 patients, eliminating the potential for caregiver dispensaries found in other states. In fact, dispensaries, collectives, and cooperatives are specifically forbidden in the South Dakota Safe Access Act. Patients in the South Dakota program would be limited to just 1 ounce of marijuana possession and the cultivation of up to 6 plants, which would place South Dakota among medical marijuana states with the most stringent restrictions. South Dakota sick and disabled medical marijuana patients will also benefit from lessons learned in the other medical marijuana states. Patients in need of organ transplants won't be given a death sentence by denying them a transplant due to their legal medical marijuana use. Patients can't be evicted from their housing or fired from their jobs solely for using marijuana as medicine. However, again, employers can still maintain drug-free workplaces and forbid patients from using medical marijuana on the job or in any way that causes impairment on the job. So please vote yes on an initiative measure 13. The next person who could ease their suffering and treat their conditions with medical marijuana could be you or someone you love that lives in South Dakota.
Yeah, South Dakota is an interesting situation in that 2006, it was the only state that's ever had a medical marijuana initiative that has failed. It failed with a 48% to 52% vote. We cannot let that stand. It's time to finally pass medical marijuana in South Dakota, not just for the people of South Dakota, but so that we essentially have Idaho, Wyoming, and Utah surrounded.
The other thing that we can vote yes for, if you're an Oregonian, you can also vote for Measure 74, the Oregon Regulated Medical Marijuana Supply System. For a dozen years now, Oregon has had one of the most successful medical marijuana programs in the nation. Many of the states that adopted medical marijuana laws subsequent to Measure 67's passage in 1998 cribbed your initiative language to craft their own programs. 36,000 registered patients now are protected from arrest and allowed to use marijuana as medicine as recommended by their physician. However, Oregon's medical marijuana law has always had one fatal flaw: the lack of any regulated system to control the distribution of marijuana to qualified patients. Measure 74 will solve that problem. Currently, Oregon's patients must grow their own marijuana or designate a caregiver to do it for them. This leads to the absurdity of asking someone paralyzed in a wheelchair to get on their hands and knees and work in the dirt of a marijuana garden, or ask a newly diagnosed brain cancer patient to try to find someone to grow marijuana that takes 2 or 3 months to harvest when their chemotherapy session is booked for the next day. Necessity is the mother of invention, and those patients in desperate need have already begun setting up farmers markets, collectives, and dispensaries operating in the gray areas of the medical marijuana law that allow for reimbursement of actual expenses. Allowing 36,000 people to legally possess marijuana but not providing them a legal way to get marijuana is a situation black market profiteers are more than happy to exploit. With Measure 74, patients are given a tightly regulated, inspected, and legal system for acquiring their medicine, just as we allow patients to acquire legal medicine from pharmacies. These dispensaries will contribute to Oregon's sagging tax revenues and take a huge chunk out of the business of illegal marijuana dealers who prey on the sick and disabled for profit. Measure 74's authors also learned valuable lessons from the experience of dispensaries in California and Colorado, where lawmakers were slow to react and create reasonable regulations. Dispensaries will not be allowed in residential neighborhoods and not be allowed to be within 1,000 feet of a school. They must be operated on a nonprofit basis, and those with violent violent or drug dealing criminal records will be excluded from operating a dispensary. They will be inspected and required to have tight security, but unlike California and Colorado, Oregon will also have a system of licensed producers who are also inspected, taxed, and subject to state regulation. This system ensures that dispensaries aren't being supplied by unscrupulous black market profiteers and creates enough supply that Oregon patients should be able to purchase their medicine at far lower prices than seen in dispensaries in the other Western states. Please vote yes on Measure 74. It will help our most vulnerable patients, and it also will hurt illegal marijuana dealers, all while providing much-needed tax revenue for a state-fueled system.
Yeah, we've got to pass Measure 74 here in Oregon. It's ridiculous to have 36,000 people with the legal right to use marijuana as medicine, but no legal way to acquire it. You can learn more about all of these measures that we've just put forth on this news segment up at our blog, stash.normal.org. We've got the links to the text of every initiative. You can read them for yourself and make your decisions. Please vote yes for marijuana law reform in South Dakota, Arizona, and Oregon.
And there's just two. Oh, go ahead, Russ.
Oh, no. It's all yours, Carrie.
Okay, there's just two more states I wanted to bring up. In Vermont, if you're voting in Vermont, you can vote for the Democratic candidate for governor of the Green Mountain State, Peter Shumlin, who has publicly advocated for the decriminalization of marijuana and legalization. If he beats the Lieutenant Governor Brian Duby, who is a Republican and is ultra-hostile to decriminalization, Vermont, which already has a medical marijuana law, has a good chance of decriminalizing the possession of marijuana. Now, there's also a Libertarian candidate, Ben Mitchell, whose platform calls for making Vermont into the, quote, Amsterdam of the U.S., if you like that over there. And then one more thing, Massachusetts, 73 different Massachusetts towns and cities will vote on non-binding ballot measures instructing state lawmakers to vote in favor of legalization that would allow the state to regulate the taxation, cultivation, and sale of marijuana to adults. So in short, to legalize marijuana. Now, although only 13% of Massachusetts voters will see that ballot initiative, the majority will only just lay the foundation for the statewide binding ballot measure in 2012. State voters have already approved decriminalization in Massachusetts, and full legalization would better limit access to the drug and raise revenue. And then one more quick, I guess, point that's in, if you live in Detroit, you can vote on legalization as well. So there you have it.
Oh, what an excellent roundup, Carrie. Now, in that Vermont race, did you say the lieutenant governor's last name was Duby?
Yes, it's D-U-B-I-E. He's a Republican, and he is a rabid. He doesn't like the medical marijuana program, and he's a rabid opponent for legalization in general.
I wonder if he was growing up, he got teased about his name so much that teased, now he's just anti.
Teased mercilessly as a kid.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're going to be covering all of these initiatives and non-binding referendums and ballot questions at the state and the city level on our Election Day coverage. Normal Show Live will be there all day, Tuesday, November 2nd, Election Day, inside Prop 19 headquarters at Oaksterdam. We will be the only media allowed inside. So check us out at live.normal.org all day Tuesday for your up-to-date election returns. We are really excited. Because of that, we will not have a show on Monday, November 1st. Carrie and I will be driving down I-5 and stopping in Reading for an In-N-Out burger. And we'll be on the road, so we won't be able to bring you a show. Neither will we have a show on the day after the election, Wednesday, November 3rd. We'll be driving back up I-5. But during the time that we are gone, all weekend long, we are going to be running replays of all of this week's shows with all of our interviews and all the Yes on Prop 19 town hall meetings and press conferences from law enforcement, all the people that are in support for legalization in California. That'll be running all weekend long. So if you know someone that needs convincing, if you want to hear some of the arguments, you can just log on to live.normal.org all weekend long and hear some of the smartest, most respected people in this issue talking about Proposition 19. Also coming up at the end of the show, we've got my radical rant on Proposition 19, and I've got some interesting news from the Gallup polling organization that figures into this Prop 19 argument. Also, in our second hour today, we'll be taking your live calls at 971-533-7111. If you've got a question, if you want to know about a particular initiative, you can find out by just dialing us up. I will answer to the best of my ability or give you the information you need to find out for yourself. Also, if you're interested in voting smart and finding out what the politicians think about marijuana, you can visit our Politicians on Pot interactive map. You'll find it at stash.normal.org. Look on the right-hand side and you'll see Politicians on Pot. We have collected the email responses from hundreds of politicians over the years who have written back to constituents when constituents ask them about medical marijuana, industrial hemp, or consumer cannabis. You can read in their own words what they think about marijuana before you make your decision on who to vote for in Election Day. Oh boy, it's a fun one here. It's our last show before the election. We got to take an extra special 20 after break. We're going to reset the chat room and try to get you a better feed. Back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to live.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I approve this message.
California's Prop 19 will legalize marijuana, but Dragonfly De La Luz thinks it's a bad idea.
Prop 19 is bad.
Freeing 2.9 million California cannabis consumers from police detention is bad.
We can already carry 1 ounce.
If you're willing to pay a $100 fine and deal with the cops.
We are not in a crisis situation regarding cannabis in California.
Tell that to the tens of thousands of California cannabis consumers arrested or ticketed for marijuana.
A vote no so that you refuse to remain a criminal under legalization.
A criminal under legalization? George Orwell would be proud. Dragonfly De La Luz wants you to vote to remain a criminal, accept tickets for your personal marijuana use, and risk felony arrest for growing a single pot plant in your closet. Dragonfly De La Luz. Bad for cannabis consumers, bad for California. Vote yes on Prop 19. Legal marijuana. No tickets. No grow felonies. No doctor's notes.
Paid for by the Committee to Eradicate Annoying Insects.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol, and I quit drinking years ago. But until now, we all run the risk of arrest if we're caught with marijuana. Fortunately, that's about to change. The voters in California this November will have the opportunity to approve a proposal to legalize, regulate, and tax the responsible use of marijuana by adults. The nation's most populous state may soon be the first to reject prohibition, and other states are sure to follow. To learn how you can help, please contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Eric Smokes Bud in Madison, Wisconsin. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. 24 after the hour, and for today's Daily Toker Tune, I don't have a lot of information. I was kind of behind the eight ball today in trying to get all of the propositions read and written about, so I didn't have time to look up the artist, but this is a new song from Fated Lion-O, and it's called Weed. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure,
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize, our marijuana laws, The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
NORML Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year. California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. We're joined now by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report on KRXA AM 540 in Monterey. Now, here's Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Chief Mayor, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
And a very special guest this week on the California Marijuana Report. We are honored to have a hero of the psychedelic movement, a co-founder of the Grateful Dead. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my honor to welcome Billy Kreutzmann, Bill Kreutzmann, the drummer for the Grateful Dead, to the California Marijuana Report. Bill, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. It's something I've believed in for a long, long time.
Back in the early 60s, when you co-founded the Grateful Dead with Jerry Garcia, how much of a role did marijuana play in this music?
Well, it played a role in all of life, not in just the music, but everybody was smoking way back then, you know, and it was a way we relaxed. Matter of fact, Eric, you bring something really amazing to mind. None of us drank in those days. We smoked pot and played music, and that's what we did. So that had quite a bit to do with it, as you get me to think about it.
When you take a look back to those days in the early 60s in Palo Alto with Jerry Garcia, and when you guys were just forming the Warlocks even, were you kind of sneaking around? Did everybody know that the other did it, or was it...
We all did it. As a group, we did it together. I remember standing in bathtubs with Bob Weir next to a window, because the window was over the bathtub, blowing the, trying to exhale whatever was left in our lungs out the window so the people in the house wouldn't smell it. But that's because we were practicing in somebody's house. But all the band members, we all smoked together. We shared it. It's a very communal thing. It was like the peace pipe. You smoked the peace pipe.
And as the years went on, Bill, I mean, you guys had some very big success in the mid-70s. And of course, many aficionados of the Dead agree that 1977, 1978 were some of your peak years. There was a lot of cocaine being used and other hard drugs at that time. Was marijuana, was it constant during the band's career?
It was a constant, but when the harder drugs came through, which is a very sad period, I wish that hadn't happened, speaking of that, the marijuana got side-placed, which is too bad. You know, if we would just smoke pot, it would have been much better.
We're so excited to have you on board here for Proposition 19. This would tax and legalize up to 1 ounce of marijuana here in the state of California come November 2nd. It would also allow all adults over 21 to grow marijuana in the privacy of their own home. How strongly do you feel about this initiative, and what is your message to all fans of the Grateful Dead regarding Proposition 19?
Well, it's not just all fans of the Grateful Dead. It's all the concerned people in California, Eric. And my message is this, that it's a long time in coming. But jump back in time for a second here. But I remember way back in 72, we thought it was the end of the war and all that kind of thing. We thought, God, marijuana will be legal at next election. Boy, were we naive. You know, we really wanted it way back then. The thing that is so important about making it legal is I see how many billions of dollars the drug cartels in Mexico are grabbing off of us, and I see the danger. And today I just read in the paper where people are being killed down there. Just terrible stuff, you know. This would take away that. That's why this is so important. And it's also that none of us that smoke, and that's including me, for the record, none of us that do are criminals or crooks. We just like to relax and we don't like to drink. So that's a very handy thing. The people that are keeping it illegal, they're very closed-minded, and they're believing the lies of the 30s of that movie, Reefer Madness. They're believing that crazy stuff. Anyway, that's my feeling about that, Eric, is it should have been legal a long time ago. It's a good thing. You know, I don't know why it took so long.
And we're speaking this week with Bill Kreutzmann of the Grateful Dead right here on the California Marijuana Report. Bill, I'd like to bring up your association with Jerry Garcia. How would Jerry Garcia, your former band member, one of your great friends in life, how would this man have voted on Proposition 19?
He would have voted yes. He might have not thought it was perfect, and I've heard that criticism of it. But for me, he would have definitely voted yes. Because, like I said, back in 72, we honestly were naive enough to think it was going to become legal whenever it first came on the California ballot or something. I forgot what it was. Probably legalization way back then. But he definitely would have voted yes on this and said, let's go for this. I mean, what is this prohibition about? Here we are with alcohol legal that is 100% worse than marijuana, and it's okay. That, to me, is just so hypocritical. I can't believe it. So he would have said yes.
What is your message, Bill, to President Barack Obama, who has promised to continue to enforce the Controlled Substance Act, regardless if California voters pass Proposition 19 to legalize and tax marijuana? What is your message to the President of the United States?
Well, I'm very sad to hear he's so closed-minded. I thought he was a much more open thinker than that. And he's just promoting the non-legalization, the prohibition. And what he's really doing, he's promoting illegal cartels, big-time cartels, to keeping their hard business up there, killing their murders and all the things that those guys do. He's backing that. And I have to think that, is this really from him or is this from his cabinet? But then I go back and I think, God, he's the boss. You know, he's a guy who's supposed to be. And it means to me that he's just is more closed-minded than I would have given him credit to. I thought he was a better thinker than that. My message to him is, come on, take marijuana off the A1 list. It's not a narcotic. It's not a Vicodin. It's not heroin. It's not any of those type of drugs. And why it got on there in the first place, we know the story. We know Reefer Madness, that tells that the lie really well. That would be my message, is take it off the A1 list, take it off the controlled substance list.
Billy Kreutzmann of the Grateful Dead says, vote yes on Proposition 19. This is a very strong endorsement from the author of the epic psychedelic number, The Other One. Bill, would you mind telling us about that song real quick?
The Other One, well, we did that. We wrote that in San Francisco. And Neil Cassidy was hanging out at the time, and Ken Kesey and Neil. And Neil actually came to the rehearsal where we were learning that song. And he used to come up to me. He's the sweetest guy I ever met. And he'd come in and shake my hand and say, are you loose, Bill? Are you loose? And they just started putting words to it, and it included him driving the bus to Never Never Land and all that kind of stuff. So that's where that came from. We practiced at a place. It was a mosque theater right next to the Fillmore West, where it is today in San Francisco. And that's where that tune came from.
And we're speaking again with Bill Kreutzmann here of the Grateful Dead, one of the founders of the most incredible psychedelic rock bands to come out of the West Coast. Bill, still...
Wait, I gotta say something right there, because I'm playing with another very wonderful band. This band, you know, the Grateful Dead ended 15 years ago. I was really hard-pressed to go, what am I going to do now? I mean, how am I going to find a band that can replace the Grateful Dead, which you can't do? Even the best cover band in the world can't replace the Grateful Dead. But... finally, this band, 15 years later, the Seven Walkers, has come by into my life, and it's just tremendous. I'm so happy we have a new record coming out November 2nd of all days. Robert Hunter, the lyricist for the Grateful Dead, actually penned 19 of the songs on the album.
What's the name of the CD, Bill?
It's called Seven Walkers.
Reading right here, it's been getting some terrific reviews on Jambase. Supposedly the best album since American Beauty. This is what people are saying about
that's a big one.
About the new Seven Walkers CD. Bill, listen, I want to thank you so much, and we hope to see you out on the road soon when you come to San Francisco. We appreciate here at the California Marijuana Report and the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws the strong endorsement of yes on Proposition 19. Bill Kreutzmann from the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, vote yes, everybody. Please vote yes. Let's get over this bugaboo. Let's get over this thing. Let's get moving on, okay?
Bill Kreutzmann of the Grateful Dead and Seven Walkers, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Wow, thank you, too. Okay.
I think it's time for a debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change. See, I used to get high.
Chong said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagen. You got what you want. Give these people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
See, I used to get high. The end of the day, I used to get high.
Welcome back, everyone. 41 after the hour here at Normal Show Live. Before we get to the radical rant, I did want to talk a little bit, or at least show you this excellent video that's been going around YouTube. It's been on the late night talk shows, but just in case you missed it and you're not a sports fan, I wanted you to catch this. Of course, the San Francisco Giants are playing versus the Texas Rangers in the World Series. And to me, this could be no better example of symbolism with regard to marijuana law reform. You got San Francisco, which represents the vanguard in cutting-edge marijuana law reform, where marijuana is openly tolerated and accepted, versus Texas. Texas, a place where they'll still throw you behind bars for a seed. So right there, the symbolism is amazing. But also, San Francisco Giants star pitcher Tim Lincecum is a two-time Cy Young Award winner who was caught last year in Washington State with a pipe and a little bit of weed, leading to a very popular shirt in San Francisco called Let Timmy Smoke. Anyway, we bring you video from Dallas-Fort Worth. This is their sports reporter, Newey Scruggs, reporting outside of the San Francisco Giants baseball field, and it's very interesting what he finds amongst the people that are there enjoying the day. Let's go to that video right now.
This is San Francisco, and I can tell you, right over there, there's some people smoking weed because it's coming this way. We are truly in San Francisco. Hey, look, I'm standing here like, that's not cigarettes. That's weed. That's weed.
Is it legal there?
Back to you.
A little more liberal, maybe? So, Newey, I'm assuming you're a big Rangers fan. What's it like being surrounded by all of these Giants fans out there? Do you feel like you can be yourself?
I mean, people are nice here. We're not in New York, okay? Nobody's going to spit on us. Nobody's going to come up here and tell us that we're bad people. It's San Francisco. The people smoking weed over there. They don't care. They want to see their team win, but they're all half buzzed out. I see a couple Giants fans. But they're not. But unlike New York, they're not mean. They're nice people. They're not mean. So.
They look like fun people.
Hey, I've got to ask you.
Yes, they are.
That is a live location that we haven't seen before. It's absolutely beautiful. Where are you exactly?
It's called McCovey Cove. We are right outside. Well, let's see if we can get a shot of this. This is the stadium, and guys like Josh Hamilton are going to hit a bunch of home runs during batting practice. So all the ships come out here. People have their kayaks. They're all trying to catch World Series home run balls. So it's a great shot, and this stadium is right here on the water here in San Francisco. It's a beautiful stadium. I think it's the best stadium I've ever been to for a Major League contest. But this is an event to be at. Everybody is trying to get tickets. I've witnessed people up here. They want $600 to $700 just for standing room only tickets. And those people who can't, I guess they'll just sit out here and smoke weed like these folks over here.
Well, it's a beautiful place to do that. I'm sure.
Hold your breath, I guess. All right. Thanks, Newey. We'll check back with you later. Have fun out there.
All right, that's a great video, and big thanks to Mrs. Radical for filling in for Ganja John. Boy, we miss Ganja John, can you tell? We really need you here, Ganja John. He's doing fine. He will be back with us soon. All right, let's get to it.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
All right, everybody, 45 after the hour, and it would have to be the show before the election when I would have all the technical difficulties in the studio. Now my video feed won't come back to my screen, so to hell with it. I'm just going to rant on audio, and you can look at the crazy picture that's on there. But I wanted to talk to people about Proposition 19 here in the state of California that will be voted on soon, and also about a Gallup poll that just recently came out. First of all, Proposition 19 has a lot of detractors out there. I shouldn't say a lot. Well, there's a lot of detractors from law enforcement and some of the politicians who are against 19, but also some people, some traitors that I call stoners against legalization that are causing problems here with Prop 19 as well. And what this comes down to is the fact that a lot of people are scared of change. Law enforcement is scared of the change, that they will no longer be able to bust law-abiding marijuana consumers, that all the asset forfeiture that they would get from busting those consumers is no longer going to be coming into their coffers. The way that they have to harass young people and minorities is going away. This is all wonderful stuff that's coming up from Prop 19. The stoners against legalization and some of these other people that are against Prop 19 are also scared of the change that will take away their lucrative monopolies on selling $20 grams grams of weed and selling $150 permission slips to go buy it. Legalizing marijuana under Prop 19 means all adults 21 and over will be able to possess 1 ounce of marijuana on their person outside the home. Now, this has been mischaracterized by some people. They say, oh, well, you can grow 25 square foot inside your home, but once you harvest, wouldn't you have more than an ounce? Yes, you would. But inside the home, at the site of your harvest, you are allowed to possess all of the marijuana that you have harvested. Not just from this harvest, but from any harvest. So if you really think about it, that's a whole lot of marijuana that you'll be able to keep inside your home. Adults will also be allowed to share an ounce of marijuana with other adults. However, Prop 19 also strictly forbids the transfer of marijuana from adults to children. We don't want kids to get a hold of marijuana. And if your excuse for voting no on Prop 19 is because you like smoking around kids, then I'm afraid I can't convince you. We are also banning smoking in public, and we are maintaining the existing laws against working or driving while impaired by marijuana. Commercial sales and cultivation of marijuana are left up to the cities and the counties to regulate or to forbid altogether. Those that choose regulation also set the taxation of marijuana sales to benefit their local communities. However, this does not change people's medical rights under Proposition 215. You will still have the same rights to go to your dispensaries to produce the gardens that you're producing now. This is an initiative that is specifically about personal use, consumption, and cultivation of marijuana. It does not do a thing to people's medical rights. That's another one of the scare tactics that's being used out there by some of the stoners against legalization. Also, some of the law enforcement people are trying to scare you by saying the roads will be overrun with stoned drivers because there'll be all these new people that are using marijuana and they won't know how to drive under it and they're going to be wrecking on the road. That is just simply not true. Proposition 19 maintains DUID laws. If they're busting people for driving stoned now, they'll still be able to bust people for driving stoned after Prop 19. And, by the way, there is no evidence to suggest that when you liberalize marijuana laws that the impaired driving goes up at all. In fact, what we've seen is it goes down. Since medical marijuana passed in 1996, accidents and fatalities on the roadways in every medical marijuana state have declined. Also, when we look at places like Portugal or the Netherlands, they don't see a rash of impaired drivers, even though they have decriminalized or tolerated the use of marijuana and some other drugs. So there is no evidence to suggest there will be more stone drivers on the road. Employees also will not be allowed to come to work high. This is something you've been hearing from the Chamber of Commerce. They say, oh, well, they'll be able to come to work high and drive the forklift. That is just not true. It's an out-and-out fabrication. Employers can still maintain a drug-free workplace, and you will not be allowed to come to work high any more than workers are allowed to come to work drunk. We still maintain that. Employers can discipline, sanction, or fire you for being impaired on the job. So do not believe that scare tactic. Now, on the other side of the scare tactics from some of the stoners against legalization, one that I hear quite a bit is, oh no, big tobacco is coming in. Big tobacco is coming in and they're going to take over the marijuana market and sell toxic swaggy joints to everyone. Or, since George Soros donated $1 million to the campaign and George Soros has stock in Monsanto, the latest conspiracy theory is, oh, Monsanto's going to come in and dominate the marijuana market and take away all the seeds and replace them with genetically modified Franken seeds that won't reproduce, and you'll have to buy all your seeds from Monsanto and they'll sew up the monopoly. Folks, conspiracy theories like that deserve the same respect as people that say the moon landing was faked. Marijuana sales will not be monopolized by big tobacco or any multinational company or seed company or any company doing business on a national level. The reason why? Marijuana will still be federally illegal. And any major corporation that begins selling marijuana would be risking seizure of billions of dollars of their assets in a federal court. Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the federal courts over the past decade, but they're awfully fond of hauling big tobacco into court and getting out from them, extracting from them billions of dollars in settlements. You don't think that they wouldn't want to do that once Big Tobacco tries to sell its first joint, then you don't understand how the federal government works. Big Tobacco and seed companies can't touch California's marijuana market. And once again, and we'll underline this and boldface it for everyone there, medical marijuana patients' rights will not be affected by making recreational marijuana legal. Don't believe these I gots mine people who want to maintain the dispensary monopolies, who want to maintain $20 a gram pricing for marijuana, who want to maintain their medical clinics that offer $150 permission slips for your right to use marijuana. Now, those are the things that Prop 19 will not do. Let me tell you what Prop 19 will do. Marijuana consumers will no longer be harassed by law enforcement, employers, and landlords for their lawful use of marijuana. We'll treat it like alcohol. You're not allowed to come to work drunk. You're not allowed to drink on the job. But if you drink on the weekend and come to work sober on Monday, you shouldn't be sanctioned. You shouldn't be discriminated against. The same thing will apply to marijuana consumers. If you're using marijuana recreationally and responsibly on your off hours, you will not be discriminated against for that in the workplace or at your residence or by law enforcement. And I can't overemphasize how important this is, because a lot of these people have been saying, well, you know, it really doesn't matter because Governor Schwarzenegger signed a decriminalization bill, and so it's only a ticket if you get caught with weed. Yeah, it's a ticket. It's a $100 ticket. Who wants to pay $100 for carrying an ounce around? Furthermore, if it's a ticket, it's still illegal. If it's still illegal, it still means probable cause. If there's still probable cause, that means shaking you down on the streets, patting you down, searching your cars, bringing in drug-sniffing dogs, getting search warrants for your homes. Those things go away because marijuana will be lawful. Also, Prop 19 means the price of marijuana should decrease dramatically, removing the obscene profits that fund gangsters and criminal cartels. Everyone will be able to grow it and share it, so anyone who wants to sell it has to compete with you, has to compete with you and your friends growing your own. That also goes back to the big companies. They say, oh, the big companies will produce all this toxic, swaggy, you know, no good, unpotent weed. Really? Who's gonna buy it? Who's gonna buy the lousy corporate weed when everybody and their friend can grow a 5x5 garden that can produce 12 to 24 ounces every harvest? Furthermore, with respect to the tickets, let's go back to that. They say, oh, it's only a ticket. But do you realize that when it's a ticket, that means police still have to do the booking. They still have to do all the paperwork. They still have to submit evidence to the crime labs. And when that evidence is submitted to the crime labs, it's put in a priority queue because a court case is coming up on that ticket, right? That means that the crime labs testing of evidence for murder, arson, and rape gets backlogged behind testing dime bags to prove marijuana tickets. We've been speaking to Stephen Downing, an LAPD deputy chief, who tells us that the rape kit processing in California crime labs is backlogged by 3 years. 3 years. And since most rapists are serial rapists, that means 3 more years of potential rapes, while one brave woman who decides to press charges is waiting for the crime lab to process the rape kit. And that rape kit is being delayed because they're processing dime bags to test them to see if they're really marijuana. When Prop 19 passes, this ends. No more testing dime bags. No more letting rape kits sit on the shelf while we try to bust some pothead. Furthermore, for us marijuana consumers, we've been living in paranoia and fear for all of our lives with respect to law enforcement. Every time we drive around and we see a cop car driving up behind us, we get that chill down our spines and we worry, is this the time I'm going to get pulled over and my car ransacked and hauled in because I might have a couple of ounces on me? Is this the time where if the cops knock on my door, they might see that pot plant growing on my shelf, or they might see a baggie or a bong on my table and get a search warrant? Will this be the time that my neighbors complain about a skunky smell and the cops get a warrant to search my house and find my garden? All of that ends. And the benefit for all Californians is the fact that us, the 3.3 million cannabis consumers in California, will no longer be afraid to call the cops when we see a crime in progress. We'll no longer be afraid to call the cops when our homes are invaded, or when someone is trespassing, or when we see something going on the streets that deserves police attention. How many of us don't interact with police because we're thinking, oh, well, somebody else will call 911. I can't really call them. I don't want them to find the pot plant in my closet. That's over. We can go back to being the same law-abiding, police-respecting citizens that beer drinkers are. Well, maybe that's not a good example. But anyway, the point still stands. We no longer need to fear law enforcement. We can cooperate with law enforcement and make our neighborhoods safer. Also, law enforcement in Prop 19 is specifically prevented from seizing, attempting to seize, or threatening to seize lawfully produced marijuana in the state of California. What that means is the next time the DEA wants to round up the posse and come into California to bust not only a Prop 19 store, but Prop 215 dispensaries, state and local cops can't help them. Every single raid that we have seen through the Bush administration, through the Obama administration, whether conducted by federal law enforcement or conducted by local law enforcement, depends on the manpower of state and local law enforcement. Without that manpower, the DEA does not have the resources to go after lawfully produced marijuana in the state of California, whether it be medical or recreational. We are completely hamstringing the federal government's ability to push Californians around with respect to their lawful use of cannabis. Right there, that could be the most important thing about Prop 19, in my opinion. So don't believe the hype, people. Prop 19 is what we've been waiting for. Now, I've heard a lot of people out there that say, oh, well, you know, Prop 19, and an ounce is not enough, a 5x5 garden's too small, oh, these restrictions on this, there's restrictions on that, as if they're waiting for the perfect initiative. Listen to me. Initiatives are not written for you and me, the cannabis consumer, the hempsters, the educated people who know that marijuana is God's most perfect plant and mankind's savior. They're not written for us. We're going to vote for that anyway. These initiatives are written for the soccer moms. They're written for the religious conservatives. They're written for the law and order types who still think marijuana is the demon weed that will make you go crazy and lead you to heroin. We've got to convince those people. So we start with a baby step like Prop 19, and we convince those people that is okay and that the sky will not fall. Once that happens, we can make it better. Prop 19 specifically allows the legislature and the people to amend it to improve it, not to make it any worse, but to improve it. So that means if you're waiting for a better initiative in 2012, go ahead and vote for Prop 19 now, and you can vote for the better one in 2012. It also means all those people who can't come out of the closet to support the better initiative in 2012 because they're afraid it's illegal can come out of the closet. Because it's legal. We will have so much more support for future legalization initiatives if it's legal. So vote yes on Prop 19. Make it good now. Make it better later. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here. Sorry about the technical difficulties on the video feed and the chat. We'll be back on Tuesday with our live coverage of Election Day. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.